Well, in one of those amazing radio coincidences that happens sometimes, I've just played a song called Don't Marry Her, and we're going to talk about what happens to your pension if you get divorced. That's the subject of our Legal Hour this month with Oliver and Co Solicitors, and I'm pleased to welcome back to the studio Rhiannon White. Hello, Rhiannon.
Hi, hello. Thanks for having me.
Not at all, nice to see you again.
Thank you.
I suppose the first thing to mention before we get into this is that as solicitors, you're not financial experts. That's quite important, isn't
it? Yes, yes. So when I'm talking about pensions, I'm not talking about nitty-gritty of how they work, etc. I'm talking about how they're viewed in the family law context on a divorce specifically.
Okay, so, I mean, it might not even occur to somebody that if you are to get divorced that the pension is in the pot. You'd think automatically of income and the house and so on, but the pension can be
not
considered.
So yes, and actually that's interesting because historically pensions weren't part of a matrimonial pot on divorce. It's something that, you know, if you got divorced in the 80s, you wouldn't have been looking at a pension share of some sort or dividing out your pension assets. It's something that was brought in the mid-90s. You know, people started to think, hang on a minute, that doesn't seem right that people are leaving a marriage with all this pension provision and another person isn't. And the law was changed in about 96, I think it was, and then developed further in the early noughties, so that we've got to a position now where you can make a claim against a spouse's pension.
Okay, so what might happen then to your pension if you are unfortunately in the position of getting divorced?
Yeah, so there are two different things that we can consider when we're looking at pension claims on a divorce. I mean, in general, if you're going through a divorce, then each spouse has claims to each other's income, capital and pensions, and as I say, two possible options. So one option is that a court can order somebody called a pension attachment order, and that's when the provider of the pension will be obliged to pay a certain percentage of pension benefits. So that might be your monthly pension income payment, or it might be part of your cash lump sum to the other spouse on retirement. So it's a bit like a maintenance order where you're getting potentially a regular payment coming in each month. These days we rarely use those. They're the things that they sort of first brought in the 90s when they first started looking at pensions, and they were found to not always be desirable, because if the person whose pension is being divvied out, if you like, passes away, then the attachment order, if you like, dies with it. So then the other person wouldn't have any ongoing provision. And the other thing that flagged up for a lot of people would be that, say, it was paying out £200 a month. Maybe somebody falls on hard times and they say to their ex, oh, you know, I need a bit more now. Or the one paying out might say, well, I can't afford to give you as much as that anymore because of new circumstances. And then you're back in with solicitors. So that was not always found to be the most desirable thing, and nowadays they're very rarely used, because we have now this other option, a more modern option of what we call a pension sharing order, and that's when a percentage of the capital value of somebody's pension is divvied out. For though we have one pot for them, one pot for the other, and they're entirely separate pots that will just pay out at the appropriate point, and then, you know, yours is yours to do as you want with it, theirs is theirs to do as they want with it. And that tends to be now nowadays more regularly what we look at if we're looking at divvying out those assets.
So presumably if you're post-retirement, or at least the pension has started paying out, then that divvying up can take place immediately. If you're saying you're 30s, obviously you're two or three decades from getting your pension.
Of course.
It's sort of that arrangement is made and put on the back burner until retirement age.
Yes.
Is that right? So it could be 20, 25, 30 years later, you suddenly get a letter. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. And in reality, the other thing to bear in mind is that, unfortunately, you may never see it. So sometimes people get very, very bogged down with pension claims when actually, like you say, if you're in your 30s, there's a long way off before you're going to see any benefit from that. Mm. And you may never do. You know, hopefully that won't be the case, but it's a possibility. Mm. There's something to be said for having some money now over waiting 30 years for pension that you may only benefit from for a short period of time, or maybe never. There is that as well.
What happens if an agreement is reached and then 10 years down the line that the party that is benefiting from the pension that didn't accrue the pension marries a millionaire and doesn't need the money? Could the person who earned the pension, who hasn't married a millionaire, who really does need the money, challenge that and say, actually, that was set up, you know, a decade ago. You were skint then. I need it all now. I need it more than you.
Yeah, well, in terms of the pension attachment order, if that sort of thing happened, where the spouse is receiving a sort of income, if you like, from this pension, in that sort of scenario, if they went away and married a millionaire, then yes, the other spouse might challenge it and say, hang on, do you really need this £200 a month now under the pension attachment? And that's when you'd be back in with solicitors potentially arguing it out.
Yeah.
With the pension share, that's more of a clean scenario, because then that spouse has their own pot, so you're going to be onto a bit of a battle trying to say we need to reverse that, because it's sort of done and dusted.
So once it's done, it's done now.
Yes.
And but that's the sort of favoured approach, really.
That tends to be the one we go for. But there's limited circumstances where the other one is, you know, an attachment's maybe a better option, but generally would that sort of fallen a lot more by the wayside.
Okay, all right, we've got a lot more to talk about regarding this subject. We'll break for the travel news. Rhiannon White is here from Oliver & Co. Solicitors. We're talking about what happens to your pension when you get divorced, or if you get divorced. I keep saying when. It's not a certainty. Let's hope it doesn't happen. But if it does, what happens and what can you do, maybe? You might feel that you have the right to protect your pension, especially, Rhiannon, if you've been working for 20 years and building up the pension for that long, or paying into a private pension for that long, and married somebody 5 years ago, and now you're sadly divorcing. You might want to split it in a sort of 3-to-1 ratio. That would be fair, wouldn't it?
Yes, it's quite often people have that sort of scenario where they say, look, there's been many years outside of this relationship when I was paying into a pension. Is that all now in the frame for sort of division between the two of us, or can I ring fence, you know, a certain time period and look at claims for that bit of the pension only?
And can you?
And the answer is maybe, essentially. So it is a possibility, and sometimes people will successfully either negotiate that with the other side if things are taking place on a voluntary basis, or if you were in the courtroom, you might persuade a judge that that is an appropriate thing to do and a fair thing to do. And it's all going to come down to the circumstances. So in a situation, for example, perhaps where you've been married 20 years and say there were 10 years previous to that where there was pension being amassed, or you've been separated for 6 years since you sort of decided that was it, you might say, can I ring fence that? I think you're less likely to be successful if you've been married for what we'd call a long time, which is not strictly defined, but sort of 20 years-ish or more. Whereas if your marriage is, let's say, 5 years, as you were saying before, it's sort of in general terms, you've got more of a chance of potentially successfully arguing that, but technically the whole lot's in the pot, so it's, as I say, down to your negotiations.
So there's nothing actually set down in law about ring fencing. It's down to individual cases, circumstances, the judge.
If it's in court, the discretion of the judge, and also things like the needs of the parties are always going to be a big one, and things, you know, it's a really sort of case dependent. So it's something that might be appropriate. It's certainly something that could be explored, and, you know, we can ask further questions about of specialist pension experts, etc., etc. But it's going to always hinge on the facts.
It sounds like it could get quite messy.
Who knows?
What about if you decide that you want to make a trade in the arrangements that you're going to come to with your ex-spouse, in terms of, well, I'll keep the pension, you can have a bit more of the house?
Yeah, so again, that's another one that people quite often sort of minded to look at. And again, that's another position that is possible of negotiation. It might be fair, it might be an option, again depending on the circumstances. So your classic scenario might be where somebody says, well, I'd rather keep some pension and you have extra money in the house. But again, in terms of how we work that out, it gets quite complicated, because when we look at pensions on divorce, we get a value of that pension, which is a capital value, which would be provided by the pension scheme itself. So a pension might be valued at, say, £100,000, and then say we had a house that had £100,000 in it. It is too simple to say, OK, you have the £100,000 in the house and I will keep my £100,000 pension, and then that's fair because we've both got £100,000.
Why is that too simple? It sounds straightforward to me.
Because this figure for the pension is not strictly comparable to capital in a house, let's say, or money in a bank account. So lots of pension specialists describe it as comparing apples to pears. They're completely different things, although they look like they're the same. They're actually not. So it's quite dangerous to purely look at the figures on their own and say, OK, well, I've got X amount of pension, there's X amount of money in the bank over there, so therefore let's just offset those. So it's a possibility, but it's something that needs to be approached cautiously, and proper evidence and things need to be sought alongside it, so you know that if you are agreeing an offset, then you're agreeing the right figure, because actually you might need to give more than you think, or maybe less than you think. So that's the thing to bear in mind.
Right, because of course the value of a pension, I suppose, can go up or down, but the same for a house too.
Things are always changing, and you know, that's part of the nature of the beast as well.
Okay, should we look at what you guys as solicitors do if this aspect rears its head in a divorce case after the next song?
Yes, great.
Okay. That's Beautiful Day, and this is Dee. It's our Legal Hour with Rhianna White here from the Family Law Department at Oliver & Co Solicitors, talking about your pension when you get divorced. And Kim is listening, Rhiannon, and she sent me a question. She says, if during the divorce you're not really thinking straight, you just want to get it done, you waive away any part of your husband's pension but later realise that was a mistake, is there any chance of claiming it back later?
So it really depends on what exactly happened at the time you got the divorce sorted out. So if purely the two of you dealt with bringing the marriage to a legal end and going through that process and didn't do anything about your finances, maybe you just agreed, we'll just leave that to one side because our main focus is we just don't want to be married any longer and move on, then the sort of financial claims almost certainly will still be in existence and can still be looked at. So we're talking not just pensions, we're talking everything, and any claim would be assessed as it is now as well, you know, not as it was at the time you got divorced. If you did sort out your financial claims at the same time and you have an order that was drawn up and it was sent off to the court and it's been stamped off and approved by a judge, chances are then the answer will be no, you can't bring that back up, or it might be quite hard to do that because you've probably then dealt with your pension claims, you know, maybe in this case they've been completely dismissed. So I think it really depends on what exactly conversations you had about the finances and whether you've got them officially tied off or not. If you haven't, there's every chance that you can still revisit it. If you have, then perhaps not, you know, and we don't need to see what sort of documentation you had from the time to be sure on that.
And if you're not sure, you can't really remember, you know, what the arrangements were at the time. It's always worth, a consultation.
Yes, have a chat with the solicitor, certainly. So we do initial free 10 minutes of advice. So there's always that to sort of have a chat about it in a bit more detail. We do initial appointments, you know, fixed fees for £99. You can bring some documents in and we'll have a look at them with you. You don't need to take it any further if you don't want to, need to, etc. So it's worth, I think, checking on that properly with a solicitor, definitely.
Okay, so if at the point of divorce you are dealing with the pension, this wasn't the case in that case, but if you are, which I guess is usual, what sort of procedures do you guys go through?
Yeah, so when anybody comes in saying we're going through a divorce and we want to know what sort of settlement we're looking at everything. So we're looking at your pensions, income and capital. And the way we look at pensions is we want to get it all valued. So we value everything. Pensions, we're looking specifically at something called a cash equivalent value. So the pension provider would send you that information if you approach them and say, I'm going through a divorce, can you please send me the value of my pension? They then give you this figure. So as I mentioned before, although it might come in as £100,000, it's not completely comparable to money in a house or whatever, but they give you a figure and that has to be a fresh figure. So we want it from the last 12 months. And if you ended up delaying things for whatever reason beyond that, we might get another one because we just want to see if there's been any difference there. And it's always best advice to get this figure as soon as you can if you're going through a divorce, because some pension providers are notorious. They'll take months to send you the information and that can cause a bit of a delay. So it's always good if you think we are going to be looking at divorce seriously now or in the near future, get that bit ticked off, get the call made or whatever, so that you know that that bit of the ball is rolling and it won't hold you up down the line. So once you've got all of that information, solicitor will do an initial assessment of it for you. And if it looks as though we need to do a bit of investigation into pensions and maybe we are looking at things like ring fencing and offsetting like we were talking about before, then best thing to do is refer the matter on then to a proper pensions expert, so a pension actuary, and we can ask them questions about, well, what does it mean if we do this with the pension? What about that? What if we did ring fence this period of time? What will that mean for everybody? What will that mean in terms of eventual pension incomes? What sort of value are we looking at if there was an offset against the house or whatever? And then they would produce the report, and that then will be what we base things around, and that will be looked at in the wider context of incomes and capital as well.
Right, okay. You mentioned at the very beginning that this wasn't really a thing in the 80s in divorce cases, and then it came onto the sort of statute books in a way in the 90s. I suppose back in those days, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, a lot of people didn't have pensions, and now it's more of a thing. And now much everyone's got one through workplaces. So it's going to become more of an issue going forward.
Well, yes, certainly. Yeah. Everybody's got pensions these days, hopefully.
It's great to see you, Rhiannon. Enjoy Mamma Mia tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Off to the Moonlight Flicks,
yes,
aren't you, tonight?
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
Thank
and
you
hopefully
very much.
It will stay dry for you.
Fingers
looks
crossed.
Promising at the moment.
Thank you.
And enjoy your holiday after that, and we'll speak soon.
Thank you.
That's Rhiannon White from Oliver & Co.